to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
You have a big plan for the weekend, Mr. Layden?
A big family reunion. The first time that all five brothers have been together in years. So it's going to be fun.
Sounds bar mitzvah-ish.
It is. It's for my niece's bar mitzvah, yeah.
God bless.
How about you?
Taking my boat, I was listening to the weather forecast. They had the wind coming north-northeast, according to Bill. And I wonder, you know, since I'm heading east, I hope the Long Island Sound is not too choppy. I've got to go all the way to Martha's Vineyard. It's over 200 miles. I'm leaving after the 5 tonight, so it'll be mostly a night voyage. If it gets too rough out on the Long Island Sound, though, I'll just drop anchor some harbor on the north shore of Long Island or maybe the south shore of Connecticut. Just wait until daylight.
But, by yourself? Or
No, I'm going actually with Zach, who is Simone's, I guess, boyfriend. I joke on it. She'll be 21 next month, and it's kind of difficult to come to grips with the fact that she actually is with this guy. I mean, for 2 years now. So I guess I just have to, well, I'm taking him, and I won't lose
him. You're going
to
dump him over? Oops. Sorry, I didn't mean to kick you into the river.
I have to tell you, folks, I am not a great fan of Mayor Bill de Blasio. I really, as you know, and I have said on this microphone, I admire his family. I love the way, he and his wife relate to their children. I think the children are very charming. Dante particularly has a tremendous political future. Anyway, I'm rooting for the guy because if he does well, the city's doing well. But, I mean, it's getting very difficult. I mean, he unsuccessfully attacked charter schools, right? Remember that. Then it was the horse-drawn carriages in Central Park, which nobody could understand because nobody was complaining about them except for the most radical elements of the pro-animal movement. I mean, we all love animals. Those horses, I mean, honestly speaking, I mean, it's not just, Liam Nelson, who's saying it. I mean, the animals are in great shape. They add a wonderful aspect of country bucolic life to the very busy little oasis in the heart of our big city. Anyway, he unsuccessfully attacked the horse-drawn carriages, and the reason was he had taken money Mayor Bill de Blasio had from the animal rights activists. So that was a black mark against him. He also underreacted to the Legionnaire's disease outbreak in the Bronx. I mean, I totally believe that Governor Andrew Cuomo was right in his assessment of that. De Blasio was a day late and, a couple of experts short. He is ignoring this epidemic of homelessness in the streets. Everybody sees it now. These people pissing here and there, sleeping everywhere. I mean, I feel for them, but my goodness, they should not be sleeping on the streets, living on the streets, and aggressively panhandling on the streets the way they are. It's not good for them. It's certainly not good for the city. So what is now Mayor de Blasio's obsession? It is tits in Times Square. I mean, it is bizarre to me that the mayor of the most important city on earth, arguably, spent 3 hours in a meeting about tits in Times Square. So I went to the theater last night. I was doing my own personal investigation. So I walked from my office at Fox News on 6th Avenue and 47th Street. So I walk across Times Square going to Barbetta's, my favorite restaurant in the theater district on West 46th Street. So I intentionally walk right through the pedestrian mall looking like crazy for the desnudas, these mostly Latinas who are going bare-chested except for the body paint and posing with the various tourists. Some tourists complain they're too aggressive. Others, not so much. So anyway, I didn't see a single one. I saw there's people wearing the Toy Story and all the Frozen characters and, those filthy outfits that just disgust me. They're so skeevy. I saw plenty of them. No desnudas. And the reason is that they're lying low now because of all this obsessive attention they're getting from city government. And now you have a situation where not only the mayor, but also our fine police commissioner, I don't mean that in any way sarcastic. I really love Bill Bratton as a wonderful police commissioner. Now they're talking about ripping up the pedestrian mall that they spent $30 million to create because to allow traffic, as if we need, more traffic-choked streets to allow more. The reason is that they are so frustrated they can't figure out how to ban the desnudas because of free speech considerations, because of other cases that have been argued that say women have the right to be bare-chested just as men do, and it's a gender equality thing. So now in their frustration on how to get rid of the titties in Times Square, they want to just revamp Times Square, bring it back to the bad old days before Mike Bloomberg created a lovely pedestrian mall. I just think that to me is an example of a failed leadership, of desperation, where they're searching around and asking all these lawyers and burning up all this taxpayer money about an issue. Who cares? Do you care? Ladies and gentlemen, you'll listen. 866-TARLE, do you care? Do you really care that there are some comely women who are painting, they're getting their breasts painted and charging $5 per shot? Actually, it's the charging $5 per shot is probably the city's best way to regulate it because it's a business. So you can regulate it as a business. I mean, the IRS could bust them and say you're making $300 a day and are you paying taxes on it? I mean, those are legit approaches. But my goodness, it's Times Square. It's the crossroads of the world. People coming from everywhere. Do we really want a Times Square that is so sterilized? I think those costumed characters are far more offensive than nice-looking women. I wouldn't care what the women look like. If they want to, the naked cowboy. He's protecting his junk with a pair of skivvies, and he's totally naked otherwise, except for his boots and his hat. I mean, a woman should be able to do the same thing. I don't care about it. And I have children, and my 10-year-old was with me. I mean, if we had seen anything, I'm sure she would have remarked in the way she did when we did the mermaid parade in Coney Island. There's nothing but breasts everywhere. I just think that we have to grow up. I really think that we have to grow up. I take one call here, but I haven't gotten to my real punchline yet today. Jonathan in Fort Lee, what's on your mind, bud?
Hey, Harold, how are you?
Good.
Two things. Number one, who really cares about these women with their breasts painted? I think Europe would laugh at us. Not that I've ever been to Europe, but I think they would laugh at us. The only problem with that is that the creep factor and these perverts that come out and for a cheap look and a feel, you're putting the public at risk, I think, there. But the other thing is,
are you a cop, Jonathan?
No. I'm not a cop. I'm a firefighter.
Well, thanks for your service in that regard. What's your main headline here?
Well, my main headline is actually you and I have met once or twice in Fort Lee, but I'm offering you my services this weekend to help you uh, sail up to Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, there you go. There you go. All right. If Zach, fails me, I'll give you a call, Jonathan. But
I tell you what, I come with a lot of charm, very funny. I'm very energetic. I am a first responder, and I'm sure I can help you.
All right. I'll put you on hold. I'll give you a boat ride for sure. I'm going to put you on hold, Jonathan. Thanks for the volunteering. Marty will come back to you. But here's, before I get to more calls, 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. You could talk to me about government priorities. But my in-laws are in town. I mean, that's why we went to Barbados.
Is that why you're boating out of town? Because your in-laws are in town. I mean, I don't blame you if that's the reason.
Separate stories. Okay. I love my in-laws. My Jewish mother-in-law is not the stereotypical one. She's very politically savvy. And she comes from Cleveland, and Cleveland was the host of the big debate, and I actually helped get a couple of tickets because it was a Fox event for some family friends. But they're very, very engaged. And, you know, my father-in-law passed, and she's been with a wonderful, wonderful guy, Jerry, for 7 years now, five, 7 years. He's like, he's like grandpa to the kids. Wonderful, wonderful guy. But he's a kind of a Republican like me, like a moderate Republican. Like, they like John Kasich a lot, the governor of Ohio. They know him. They like him. My mother-in-law, Nancy, is more of a Hillary Clinton Democrat. And I mean that when I say Hillary Clinton Democrat, I mean very specifically Hillary Clinton. So they were asking me about the email scandal that is now plaguing the former Secretary of State, former New York State Senator, or Senator from New York. And, you know, what is it? Why is it so hard to define? You know, I have a difficult time grappling with it. I don't know. I know that Hillary's critics assert vigorously that the scheme using private service for official business has the stink of corruption. I understand that they assert the stink of corruption. But nobody, I don't care who you are, you'd be a constitutional, nobody has told me what the purported crime is. And it's frustrating because it's not about the crime. It's about the noise, the rumbling, adding to the feeling, and my mother-in-law shared this with me, that Hillary is shady. You know, it sounds icky. It feels icky. It feels like, you know, dishonest, tacky. Why are you using a private server and you're a public official? And yet nobody could say this violates this criminal law or that criminal, or the FBI is invested. This, I'm saying, it's going to come to nothing. But when I saw the lack of enthusiasm for Hillary in my own mother-in-law, that, I'm telling you, Noam, is reflective of a sentiment that is going across this country. And I love Bill Clinton, you know, and the Clintons' politics are more in tune with me than the Trump politics are. And yet you get this feeling like you're watching and you're saying, there's no glow there. Let me put it that way. When she first announced, all of these women, my wife, my mother-in-law, all the women in my life, you know, or the staffers of a certain age, they were so psyched that, okay, now it's the woman's time. Now we finally get a woman in the White House. And now you don't get any of that. Now, the women who are still pro-Hillary, they're doggedly so. Oh, we're gonna slug through this. We're going to cast a vote. We're gonna stick up for Hillary. We're going to vote for her. But it has totally lost the buzz. You tell me, Noam Layden, and ladies and gentlemen, 866-HERALDO, whether you agree with me. I also, if you have an offhanded comment about the desnudas, the tits in Times Square, I'll take those calls as well. I don't know what the fuss is all about in Times Square. I am not sure what the fuss is all about with Hillary Clinton's email scandal either. But in Hillary's case, at least, she is being tarnished by all of this this discordant noise. We haven't spoken about Donald Trump or her assailing Trump for using anchor babies as an expression. I'll talk about that as the program progresses. But right now, I want to stick to de Blasio copping out when it comes to Times Square. Going to chop it all up as the way to keep the desnudas, the naked ladies, off the streets, which seems very extreme. To me, it seems like a glaring example. In small things, sometimes you see big messages. And to me, the big message is this is a failure of a chief executive of a major metropolitan area to deal with a minor controversy. I don't know who's making a fuss about it anyway, other than the tabloids who love to show women's breasts, you know, any excuse, but it doesn't make them bad people. Here's Mike in New Jersey. What's up, Mike? What are you thinking about?
Geraldo, I'm one of those citizens who do not care about what's going on with this nudist, but what I'm more upset about is how this Mayor de Blasio just sits around and allows the cost of living in New York City to get extremely high. I mean, with MTA fares going up, with tolls going up, and not just that, he just gave the firemen 11% wage increase. That means if I'm a fireman and I'm doing 5 years on a job, I'm making $90,000. Next year, I'm going to get a $10,000 wage increase. The reason why the cost of living is going up is because he's allowing all these public servants to make whatever they want, and women like that have to make ends meet in New York, just like the rest of New Yorkers who work in the private sector. Women like that have to go out there in Times Square and show their breasts. That's why those women are doing that. They're trying to make ends meet to live in a city that Mayor de Blasio has allowed the cost of living to get extremely high. He has done nothing for the working people, the 91% who work in the private sector. Not only that, those people in New York have to pay those public servants' pensions payments. They have to pay 82% of that. I mean, it's out of control. That's why those women are doing that. That's what I wanted to say.
All right, well said, dude. Well said. I mean, Mike really scoring. You know, one of the things about the Ashley Madison email, or rather website hack, all the information about these high-tech adulterers now being revealed, and they're showing how many of them are government workers who sit around doing porn all day on their computers. The biggest concentration of Ashley Madison subscribers is in Washington, D.C. Many of them are, there are a couple of assistant U.S. attorneys apparently being outed now, Homeland Security officials. Isn't it an indication? I mean, and I think that one of the terrible sins about public service is you get in and then you reward whoever it is that helped you politically by giving them great jobs. I mean, when you start making in the six figures and you have absolute job security, they can't fire you even if you're looking at porn. You know, we've got this elaborate civil service system of protections. What exactly are you producing for the taxpayers? How are you making the world a better place? And I just think that when you see how government works, and now government obsessing, all with paying the police commissioner and the mayor, and they're obsessing over a half a dozen Venezuelan chicks with their tits out. How does it instill any kind of confidence? This is kind of a rough segue into Donald Trump, but that's part of the reason he's resonating, is that he's cutting through this nonsense and he's exposing, to use a loose term, he's exposing the absolute inefficiency, ineffectiveness, and pointlessness of so much of government.
You know, Mayor de Blasio, I think he just needs a win. That's what's going on here. That's what I think. He knows he can actually solve the problem, if you call it a problem, of the nude chicks in Times Square. He can do something about it quickly. He can't do anything about homelessness quickly. He can't do anything about it. He couldn't do anything about Legionnaires quickly. He failed on so many other things. So why not attack Times Square? He can do that within a couple days. He can change that around, and those nude chicks will be gone. And for some people, they'll think that's a victory. For him, maybe he'll think that's a victory.
Nude chicks will be gone in smoky trucks and Uber cars and medallion cabs and commuters from everywhere within the five boroughs in the tri-state will be back on 7th Avenue to our regret.
77 WABC.
Get up a table of dance for sex. I'm sure to make a wish people hear that request every now and then. Get the boy a table dance. What do you want, Jimmy? You get ready to die. You want to meet Jim Carrey? No, I want some titties in my face.
Chris Rapp. I don't vouch for that. Please don't call me. That was Marty did that.
Call Marty.
Call Marty. I'll give you his private number. Chris Rock. But, I mean, the point is, I mean, who cares? Really, this is New York. Who cares about the desnudas? I think it's preposterous to really spend all this time obsessing. And is Noam right when he says that what de Blasio is trying to do is show that he can be an effective leader? He's also saying that he can take on all challenges when it comes to 2017. I don't want to get that far ahead. But I don't know. As of right now, I don't know if he could win a Democratic primary.
It'd be interesting to see who, you know, we'd have to see who they put up against him. But yeah.
Jim in New Jersey, what's on your mind, bud?
Hey, Geraldo, how are you?
Excellent.
Thanks for taking my call, man. I just wanted to say about de Blasio, what he's doing here is the reason why he's focusing all his attention on this is because it diverts attention from the real problem, the homeless, the panhandlers, the drug dealers. I have my daughter that's starting her second year in college in Manhattan. She dorms up on 3rd Avenue up by 96th Street. And I had to sit her down. I had to tell her, listen, this year, the city is 100% worse than it was last year. You're going to have to be much more diligent. You're going to have to use the street smarts that you learned last year because the city has deteriorated that much. I had a situation last year at the end of the semester where I was on the phone with her and she started screaming because a homeless guy was walking towards her to hug her. And her screams made him turn around and walk away. You know, he does not want to address that situation. That's why he's going after the nonsense of people with body paint on.
All right, good call. My daughter just three blocks away from yours on the Upper East Side there. Here's Selma. Hi, Selma. How are you? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Geraldo, you're a nice Puerto Rican guy, and I'm a nice Puerto Rican gal.
All right.
This is the deal. The deal is your daughter, let's say she finished college at 19, 20 years old. She took a criminal justice course, and now she's going to become somebody in the criminal justice. She's going to take a psychological test. You know what? She's going to fail it. Why? Because early on, she was exposed to boobs and sluts, and it was okay. Your idea of it's okay, you can't see the danger. Are you kidding?
But what is the danger, Selma?
You
think that
are you kidding? You know the exposure of this. Jared probably had this exposure early on. I mean, porn is no big deal. It's acceptable. It proliferated to the point where he went overboard into kiddie porn. You don't seem to get the idea and make the connection. You better. You want to run for politics? My friend, you cannot make a good politician if you can't see in a clear
You know view. What I you know what I see, Selma? And I appreciate your call and your sentiments. You sound like a very sincere and intelligent person. What I see is most of the most vociferous of the opponents of something like these desnudas in Times Square, not most of them, many are holier than thou. They are people who are attempting to impose their morality, at least as they publicly express their morality. Now, Selma mentioned Jared, the Subway sandwich guy. Why is it that we're so offended? I mean, aside from the fact that there is a reprehensible crime committed when you commit statutory rape, but what really irks us is his wholesome attitude. His whole expression was, I'm like you. I was fat and now I'm skinny and I did this and I'm a nice guy and I've got children and I'm a good wholehearted American. And that's like this guy, Josh Dugar. The 19 kids and counting, the TLC program. He's the oldest of the Josh Dugar, the oldest of the 19 children. You have 19 children, and you're having more. You got your head examined anyway. But I mean, so he's now. This is the guy that previously admitted molesting teenage girls, including his sister, and now he's been outed in the Ashley Madison hack dump. He's one of the people whose names have now come out. What makes it so wretched is the hypocrisy, isn't it? It reminds me so much of the, remember Jim Baker, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, and the other one, Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, they say they're one thing and they're something else. Like the guy who was cracking down on perverts in Washington, D.C., he was really a hustler of all the White House interns, the male interns, the guy who was... You know, that's what really is so irksome. It's not your morality. You can have your morality, and I'm okay with that. And you can even seek to preach it to me. But I'm telling you, if I see that you're saying one thing and living another, then you are a shameless piece of crap. And you deserve to be outed. You deserve to go to the lowest ring in Dante's Inferno is reserved for the hypocrites. I think too many people moralize and then don't practice what they preach. Remember that old expression?
In Josh Duggar's case, you know, he was head of the Family Research Council. He was president of the Family Research Council when all this stuff was coming out. He had to step down. I mean, that's all about morality. And here he was being completely immoral.
Pretending virtue only to pervert it. And ladies and gentlemen, you have to be careful who you believe in. You have to be careful who you believe in. Make sure that there's truth behind that, you know, that sanctimony. NY Plains, Rich, long time no see. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo. I want to thank ABC reporter Tom Lamas in his failed attempt to belittle Donald Trump by declaring anchor baby an offensive term. I mean, the liberal media just doesn't get it. Americans hate them, and they hate this. So you know, more of that. You guys will just keep shooting yourselves in the foot.
All right, roll it, Chris. Here's Trump.
We asked Trump about a phrase he's using more and more, anchor babies, to describe children of undocumented immigrants born in the U.S. Trump says the parents have the child, so they're not deported.
That's an offensive term. People find that hurtful.
You mean it's not politically correct, and yet everybody uses it?
Look it up in the dictionary. It's offensive.
I'll use the word anchor baby. Excuse me. I'll use the word anchor baby.
All right, now, Jeb Bush got dragged into it. They're trying to match Trump now. In terms of, you know, their hyperbole and how they describe things, they're no longer Jeb sitting back and letting Trump steal the headlines. He is Jeb Bush on Anchor Babies.
Did you regret using the term anchor babies yesterday on the radio?
No, I didn't.
Is that not bombastic?
I don't regret it.
You don't regret it?
No, do you have a better term?
I'm not. I'm asking you.
Okay. You give me a better term and I'll use it. I'm serious.
Governor. Right.
Don't yell at me behind my ear, though.
Sorry about that.
All right, so he got Jeb Bush, Governor Bush, got an apology out of the reporter for asking. I'll tell you this, Rich, and here's the way I feel about anchor babies. It doesn't bother me, the expression. I'm like a fervent immigration reformer. I really want people to come out of the shadows, those here without proper documentation. And there are some number of undocumented immigrants, no doubt, who have in their mind the fact that if a child is born here, not only will the child be a citizen, but perhaps that child could then be used as the anchor for the family, as the lever for the family to begin a process of legitimization of their status here. So it doesn't bother me. Anchor baby, I know that it is known to be a pejorative, and the dictionary so describes it. Lamas, the reporter, was right about that. But it doesn't bother me. You know what bothers me? Illegal alien. That expression bothers me because it is so harsh in terms. It may be technically correct or used in another era when foreigners were described as aliens and they're, I guess, legal aliens and illegal aliens. But what does it sound like when you say illegal alien? Does it sound like doesn't even sound like a human.
No.
It's an illegal alien. It's like it's like child molester. It's like such a. That, to me, is the kind of expression that I absolutely, when I hear it, I know where you stand. It's just like Republicans that refer to Democrats, and they say the Democrat governor or the Democrat senator. They use Democrat as a pejorative rather than say the Democratic candidate. They say the Democrat candidate. I know where you're coming from if you use the expression illegal alien. Anchor babies, I'll give you some slack. I think that Governor Bush is pretty reasonable when it comes to immigration. I mean, he's a lot more moderate in tone than Trump has been, although this is so fascinating to me. Trump will not only set the tone of the campaign, he will set the tenor for the vast majority of these candidates. Here is the presumptive front runner, the early presumptive front runner, Governor Jeb Bush, the brother of a president, the son of a president, and now he's trying to match Trump zinger for zinger. That ain't going to happen. That's not going to work. for Jeb Bush. But anyway, I'm watching this. Anchor Baby, I don't know if you have a different idea, let me know. Illegal alien, absolutely not. You say that expression to me, I know where you're coming from. It starts a process in my mind that everything else you say after you say illegal alien, I'm discounting it. It's like Ann Coulter or Laura Ingram. I know once you say that, I know where you're coming from. You're not in this for a reasonable debate. You just want to take some stabs and jabs. And I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it here on the air at 77 WABC, and I'm not buying it on The 5 and Fox News, where I'll be this afternoon. I'm just not buying it. I know where you're coming from. You want to have a reasonable discussion? You want to fix a problem that ails us, and this is a problem, no one can deny it? Then you've got to be straight, and you don't use expressions like we used in the 1940s. You want to bring those back? You want to start thinking about them, all the different expressions of various ethnic groups, how they were portrayed in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s? You want to go back there, insulting every ethnic and racial group by using archaic expressions like illegal alien? Where's my Ranger theme song? I thought we were coming in with a Ranger theme song. See them in the field, it is amazing to see the capability, the physical, emotional, mental capability of Rangers in the United States Army. I mean, just amazing. I mean, then they go on to be, you know, special operators and in the other services, Navy SEALs and so forth. But two women, I just wanted to go out to the two women who've now the first ever to qualify as Rangers, so to Lieutenant Shane Haver of Texas and Kristen Greist of Orange, Connecticut. We send them a real salute. They, along with their 94 male soldiers, have just graduated with the Gold Ranger tab from the school, the notoriously difficult school at Fort Benning, Georgia. So we send out a shout out to them. Women in combat, I mean, someday we'll talk about that. I mean, I got my own ideas about that. I don't know. It's a, anyway, I don't want to be distracted, but it's not a simple issue. It's not just about gender equality. There's a lot of things going on. Sarah in New York, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I called to talk about Anchor Babies.
Okay.
But just quickly, about Hillary, every woman understands that the first is anything in any level or occupation has all eyes on them, and it reflects on everyone who comes after them. And that's why, although I would love to vote for a woman for president, if Democrats nominate Hillary, I'm going to be voting for the Republican, no matter how much of an ass he is. So,
really?
Yes.
Do you dislike her?
It's not a matter of disliking her. I think she will be a disaster as president. And I don't want the first woman president to be a disaster. But anyway, Anchor Babies, I have a solution to the problem you were discussing yesterday about the birth tourism. So, you remember you were talking about?
Yes, I do.
All right. So, we know that the language of the 14th Amendment does not apply to babies born on U.S. soil to foreign ambassadors.
Right.
Okay.
I agreed.
Yes, and we know there is a law that says that.
Yes, it's in the amendment.
No, it's actually in the U.S. Code. Oh, I hear the music. Okay.
Bye. Well, call back later. We'll hash this out, Sarah. But you may be onto something. We'll be right back.
Fabric of them, the attributes and competencies necessary to fight on to the Ranger objective and complete the mission.
Right, this is the chaplain.
Your
this is the actual swearing-in ceremony at Fort Benning,
American
Georgia,
soldiers in combat.
Of the 96 Rangers, including the two women, first ever.
That they might continue to live as more elite soldiers in every aspect of their chosen professions. physically, tactically, and morally.
God bless him. God bless him.
The Rangers are like SEALs.
They're some place between regular GIs and real special operators. It is very difficult training. They are the elite force, but they're within, you know, there is elite, and then there's ultra extraordinary, you know, open this only in case of, you know, something extreme. That's the SEALs and the Delta Force and the special operators. Generally speaking, you've got to be like a Ranger, though, to qualify. As you don't jump to being in Delta Force without going to Ranger school. Anybody knows differently, please let me know. You know, I've seen them in action, and I obviously would trust my life and the life of our nation to them. And now we welcome to the Corps those proud enough to wear the badge of Ranger, the two women, first time ever. All right, so I was talking to Sarah before the news break, who was gracious enough to hang in there.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. So Sarah had an idea of how to deal with the situation with anchor babies, that is particularly, let's put aside anchor babies, those who it can be proven have come here in their late stages of pregnancy specifically to have a child that would then get U.S. citizenship, even if it was a upper middle class tourist. And there are many who come here, 34,000 a year, specifically to have babies, and then they go back to their homes, but they take home a child who is an American citizen. So Sarah had an idea, an exception within the 14th Amendment. Let me read you the first sentence of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, the Congressional Research Service explains, and I'll quote, the 14th Amendment has conferred no authority upon Congress to restrict the effect of birth declared by the Constitution to constitute a sufficient and complete right to citizenship. In other words, the Congress cannot pass a law to undo birthright citizenship. But the 14th Amendment excludes children born to diplomats or hostile occupying forces and those born on foreign public ships. So Sarah had the bright idea, maybe this language that we already exclude children born to diplomats, or if there was a, God forbid, occupying hostile army in the United States or on a ship, a Cuban warship anchored off Miami, those people are not birthright citizens, even if they were born here. Sarah, now explain the rest of your idea.
Right. So the point is, and by the way, the Congressional Research Service forgot to mention that it also applies to the babies of Native Americans.
Right. That was right. A law that was passed in the 20th century, but go ahead.
Well, it gave them that right, but the 14th Amendment does not give citizenship to the babies of Native Americans.
It did not initially, but a law was passed that...
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Okay, so here's the point. All Congress has to do is to say that, pass a law, just like it passed a law that says that the babies of ambassadors are not U.S. citizens by birth. They can pass a law that says the babies of tourists are not U.S. citizens. It's not in the Constitution that they are. There is no Supreme Court decision that says that someone here for 10 days and has a baby, that baby is a U.S. citizen. We have no language in the Constitution, and we have no language in a Supreme Court decision. The only language we have from the Supreme Court is over 100 years old, and it said that a baby born to legal residence.
Yeah, so, I think that, you could certainly make the argument, Sarah, and you do very articulately, but I would submit it's a losing legal argument because of the language that I'll quote again. The 14th Amendment has conferred no authority upon Congress to restrict the effect of birth. You know, that's what it says. It confers no authority to restrict it. It doesn't say that the 14th Amendment confers no authority to expand it, and they did to include American Indians. They expanded the original language. it doesn't say they have no authority to expand it. They want to say more people can be citizens if you're flying over or something like that. Congress could probably pass that legally. But to restrict the effect of birth, I'll say again, the 14th Amendment has conferred no authority upon Congress. And I think that's going to be the rub.
Do we have any hard numbers of how many people actually come here?
34,000.
Where are they getting the number from?
I don't imagine that it's that difficult to sync it up. I don't know where that, you know, it's a good question. I'll see. I don't remember where there are. I know that there are 340,000 children born to undocumented immigrants total. And of the 340,000, I don't want to confuse people. I'll say it again. Of the 340,000 children born here of undocumented immigrants every year, 34,000 are thought to be the children of tourists, of pregnancy tourists, people who specifically have come to have the child. You know, not Juan and Maria who comes across the border and then they live here 10 years and she has a baby, but this group, this much more selective group, and I would surmise much more financially able and educated group, they just make the smart decision. Hey, I'm Chinese and I want to have a baby that has an American citizenship. It's $10,000 round trip plus the 3 days at the Ritz-Carlton and a day at the maternity clinic. So I make that investment and I'm going back to China with an American citizen baby. I don't think it's a huge deal. I think that anchor babies, the debate is in many ways, because of the language of the Constitution, a whole bunch of bull that you know, the people who want to restrict immigration or gin up the passions of the anti-immigrant forces, they can use the expression anchor baby, anchor baby, anchor baby. It ain't going to change. You can make every wishful thinking constitutional argument you want to. It's not going to change unless you amend the Constitution. Or, and this is the way I would deal with the problem of the 34,000, the high rollers who come specifically as pregnancy tourists. I just would say, pass a regulation. If you're over 6 months pregnant, you can't come in. You can't come in. You got to wait until after you're unpregnant. You have to wait until after you have your child. Why not? If that irks you so much, and why not prosecute the agencies, the travel agencies that are arranged? We know who it is. And it's the same agencies that work China and India, wherever, Latin America, wherever they are, that work these high roller pregnant. You could Google it. Here's the agencies that are specifically in business to create birthright citizenship for your upper middle class child. I mean, you could find out. And that's what you do with enforcement. Enough about that. Hi, Bill. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo, how you doing?
Thanks for calling.
Good. Listen, I just want to set you straight a little on Hillary and give you a few reasons that really disqualify her from being in the White House.
Okay.
And then I want to talk about immigration.
We're having another 300 down day on Wall Street. I'm watching my savings evaporate. We're down 284 right now on top of 3 and change yesterday. All the gains of 2015 have been wiped out. And now we're at 16,709, so we're, 1,500 points off the high. So the Dow, the stock market may be going through the correction. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Bill. I'm just I'm looking at this and saying I'm going to have to work until I'm 150. But go ahead. What's on your mind?
Me too. Anyway, as far as the three reasons, number one, while she was Secretary of State, she traveled, we know, extensively around the world, went to many consulates and pushed this program, this H-1B visa program, which, according to the Department of Homeland Security, estimates that between 7 and 8 million people, high-tech workers, came into this country and took the jobs of American citizens who were making a very good salary, being replaced by people working for a fifth or a sixth of the salary. That's number one. I don't hear anybody talking about
you mean
that.
Like the person that answers your phone and he's really in India and it's you're calling on your what's wrong with your cable TV?
No, what I'm talking about are people with PhDs that are coming into this country who not any fault of their own. They studied, they did what they had to do in their own country, but she pushed the program. She did the bidding for companies in this country to bring these people over so they could replace workers who are making $100,000, $125,000 with people who are making $25,000 and no benefits. And this is
okay, that's not a crime, but go ahead. What else is on your mind?
No, it's not a crime, but it disqualifies her. Number two, she was a huge supporter of her husband when he signed the legislation decimating Glass-Steagall. Now, if people want to understand this, Glass-Steagall was the firewall that separated Wall Street from people's pensions and their savings. What he, in essence, did is he picked the lock for Wall Street. Wall Street walked in, and because of that, millions of people lost billions of dollars in savings and pensions. And she was a huge supporter. I don't hear anybody talking about that.
Okay, and point three, quickly.
Okay, very quickly. It was very evident during Bill Clinton's administration, he was a huge philanderer. And when it came to light, instead of castigating and condemning Bill Clinton, she went, when it all came to a head, no pun intended, she went after the victims. Now, that's a major character flaw.
Okay, I got it, Bill, and I think that last one is the one that really is probably most irksome to many of the people that don't like Hillary, that she was complicit, I guess you would say, in her husband's philandering. I wonder if his name's going to show up on that Ashley Madison hack. But, I, you know, and bringing in people with PhDs, that's what Trump wants to do, too. Me, too. I want every PhD in the world to come here. I want them all. I want the next inventor of the next whatever it is to be American. I want it here. I want to harness that immigrant vigor. Don't you get it? I think they're totally wrong. I mean, Trump gets it. He's a business guy. That's the one of the one, you know, I have a couple of aspects of his plan that I like. But that to me, the one about bringing in, keeping people who come here and get PhDs, keeping them right here rather than ordering them to go home because their student visas has expired. It is 19 minutes after 11 o'clock. We have so much territory to cover still. I appreciate your calls. Tony, Greg, Tony, Ernie, stay there. The Dow Jones hovering around 300 points down. If he closes around this level, that'll be a loss in the last couple of days of just about 1,000 points. The last 3 days, 4 days, 1,000 points. A lot.
It's unbelievable.
300 down. It's worrisome. And is this all about China?
Well, you know, the last few days has been all about China. Don't know what it is today.
China, what, that they have been inflating their...
Devaluating the currency.
Right, they're making their stuff cheaper.
Right.
But they're doing that because their stock market is crashing.
That's right.
So this is basically that our stocks are getting hit because China's stocks were overvalued.
Right. And now we can get their goods even cheaper than we were getting them before.
And so our stuff can't compete with their stuff.
That's right. I mean, that's how I understand it. I'm no Wall Street maven, but...
And Trump seemed to struggle with that himself. How would you deal with that? I saw, you know, his interview. I was on Maria Bartiromo's show yesterday. And I'm no economist. I can't even do my own taxes. But you see a situation like that, and Trump was asked about the strong dollar. How does he feel about the strong dollar? And he seemed to equivocate. He said... It feels good to have a strong dollar, and when you have a weak dollar, people are complaining, oh, you have a weak dollar. But to have a strong dollar, you can't... I mean, it was wonderful for me in Italy. The right. euro was, you know, worth less than it had been, so, you know, goods there were less expensive than they had been in Europe. But most people aren't traveling to Europe. They're buying stuff here and, you know, and trying to sell American-made products here, and we can't, you know, it's... I don't know where the economy really is. It doesn't it seem to you, though, and I understand that people call in, particularly with the immigration issue being so so raw in so many people's minds, thanks to Trump bringing it up. Doesn't it feel to you the economy is a lot better than it has been? I mean, more people are working, more people are getting jobs. Even the millennials are getting jobs now.
No doubt. And when you see the Donald Trump picking the immigration issue, that's probably the right issue to pick because come 2016, if the economy is humming along like it is, if the unemployment rate is as low as it is, they can't run on that. They right. have to find something else to run on.
When the unemployment goes below 5%, how are you going to run on it?
Yeah,
you can't. Basically full employment. So
you can run on Obamacare, you can run on immigration.
Obamacare. What are you going to do about Obamacare? You're going to unplug Obamacare. I could just
It's so stupid.
It's raw meat for the masses, though. So
it's raw meat, but you go back to Congress again. Now you know why they're on porn sites all day long, the civil servants, why they're signing up for Ashley Madison more in Washington, D.C. than any place else. It's because they don't have anything else to do. Why don't they have anything else to do? Because instead of figuring out how to repair infrastructure, they're talking about bull, like a repeal of Obamacare. You're going to vote on this for the 57th time. You know, I think the vast majority of people who are using Obamacare are benefiting and appreciated grudgingly. Although I must say, I don't know why President Obama's popularity rate is dropping. Why is that? He's below 50% now. I don't. Is that because of Hillary and his association with Hillary, or just a distaste for Democrats generally? I don't know what the president has done is my point, other than going to Martha's Vineyard golfing. Is it that?
Well, or is just their popularity always wanes in those last couple of years? We're tired of
it. But a month ago, he was up.
He
was steaming along. Mm-hmm. All right, so what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Here in Brooklyn is Jeff. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, Geraldo. First, I want to say thank you for everything that you do, because you guys do a great job. And Noam, I listen to you every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, why are you up so early?
Because I have to be at my business at 7 and to open up.
All right, great.
Because somebody's got to work in this country. But that being said,
yes,
my sister is the head of obstetrics nursing in San Diego, California. And she'll tell me, and I'll tell you, that a good 80% of the live births that are happening in her hospital are coming from South America. And so,
what's the economic status of
the women?
We're
talking about illegal immigrants. They come in, they are coming in, and they are having their babies here. And why are they having their babies here? As well, we all know. You know, I don't like what Trump says. I don't like the way he says it. But he's not wrong. Unfortunately, he's not wrong. And what I would like to see
happen... Gotta leave it there, bud, but thanks.
I know how to build. I know how to get it done. We'll have a great wall. We'll call it the Great Wall of Trump. We'll have a great wall, and it can be a good-looking wall, as walls go, but we will have a really terrific wall.
That's Trump, the Great Wall of Trump. He now, according to USA Today, has a victory strategy. His strategy is to do well in the early states by keeping his face in the headlines. So he's going to Alabama today, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
today.
Tonight.
What time is that rally?
I don't know the time, but it's a stadium that holds 50,000 people. 35,000 as of yesterday had already reserved tickets.
So if Alabama is an indication of how well he is going over in the South, then the state you know well, Noam, South Carolina, is the third primary state. You know, I think that there is, and I was talking to my in-laws last night. I don't see how he loses now. I don't see how Trump is denied the Republican nomination. I don't. I think that they'll sling Charlie Gasparino, my colleague and friend at Fox Business, said that the other campaign managers are vowing now to spend $10 million to start throwing crap at Trump, hoping something sticks.
A little mud
to diminish him in some ways. But hasn't that always been the case? And, you know, is it really going to make a difference with these supporters? Like, what are they going to say? For instance, Trump just said something about the whole anchor baby controversy. Let me play one more Trump. This is Trump on the illegal immigrant thing.
I don't think I'm mean-spirited. We have to get back our country. Look, our country is going down. We have to get back our country. It's based on laws. These are illegal. Now, people like to say undocumented because that's politically correct. I don't say that. These people came in illegally. Some are excellent. They're fantastic, wonderful. But they have to go out. Now, they can come back in, but they have to come in legally. We can even expedite the process. I think that's fine. I like that. And then you have some really bad ones. The gangs. You got gangs roving, hurting people, killing people. You look at what happened to Kate in San Francisco. So we have to be able to get the bad. We got bad dudes out there, bad ones. And we'll get them out so fast. Let me tell you, if I'm president, we'll get them out of here so fast your head's going to spin.
All right, that's what scares me. My head's going to spin because it's not going to be the gangs. They're hard to find. It's going to be the low-hanging fruit. It's going to be Juan and Maria, the ones who clean the house or deliver the food or pick the grapes. That'll be the easy ones. It's just going to be a mess. But anyway, putting aside my feelings about the issue of immigration, my point is, with this unorthodox style, with this charm and eloquence, because it is, and his cheekiness, his like Jeb Bush adopted the term anchor baby and was very feisty about it. Trump tweets, Jeb Bush in a memo once said that the term anchor baby is offensive. Now he's using it because I'm using it.
Right.
Stick to your principles, says the Trump tweet, which will be seen by millions of people. So Jeb Bush gets a little flare and Trump
knocks him down,
squashes him. Like, and that's so I think Trump's going to be the nominee.
Well, let me ask you this, though, because I wonder also whether anybody can stop him. Of course, as he said it, and we've said it here, the summer of Trump. So the summer's almost over, right? Back to school, back to work. Everybody's off vacation. Topics change. How long can he hold on to? How long can he hold this power, you know, that he has over the media, where we're following him every place he goes? It's not going to last forever. And I wonder. I don't know that this is going to happen, but I'm just wondering out loud. Does it fizzle at some point? Do we get bored of watching him, because it then goes into September and October and November and December, and the first voting doesn't happen until January. It's a long time away.
How many TV shows, Numb-laden, have 14 seasons and do better in the 14th season than they did in the 11th, 12th, and 13th season? That's Celebrity Apprentice. My point is, Meet the Press on Sunday with Chuck Todd, who has not been very successful in that old Tim Russert franchise. Kind of ran it into the ground. He had the highest rating in Meet the Press history on Sunday.
Yeah.
Who did he have for the full hour? Donald Trump. Every time someone, and Trump's coming back on our show next week. Every time, like with Maria Bartiromo yesterday on Fox Business, you get him on the phone, supposed to be a 3-minute interview, finally hung up 45 minutes later.
That's great.
Blowing out the commercial breaks, just talking to him because people are mesmerized.
They are, but I'm asking you, September, October, are we going to be as mesmerized?
You answer the question. You ask,
I don't think so. There's a part of me that says,
and who are you going to get into?
As fascinated as you are. Don't get me wrong. I'm not making a political judgment. I'm just saying, I don't know that he can hold on to this all the way to January.
You see the 17 GOP candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of them is going to now energize your? Which one's going to like push aside Trump and say, now pay attention to me? Is it going to be Scott Walker?
No.
Scott Walker's got a big bald spot on the back of his head.
Hey, what's wrong with baldness?
Nothing is wrong with it, but every time he turns around, this young firebrand suddenly becomes like
a little bit older.
It looks like a mitzvah student.
Right. It looks like he had his kippah too much.
He needed his yarmulke. That when I grew up in Brooklyn, that's what I always said. I'm not going to wear one because that's what it does.
Bald spot there. I don't know if there's any truth to that,
I don't know either. Is that evolution? No, if it was, then all the noses and all the Jewish women, after all the generations of surgery, would now be evolving.
Right, normal size, yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And Tom's River, Tony is on the line. Tony, what are you thinking about, buddy? Hello, Tony, you there?
Yes.
Hi, what's on your mind?
You know, the breast has always been a symbol of nurturing. And
You got a terrible connection there, Tony. I'm sorry. Why don't you call us back? Call us right back, and I'll take you. I'll take you back. I cut off someone because of the commercial break at the bottom of the hour. A lady was speaking. She called me back too. I forget her name. In Bushwick, Greg was on the line. What's up, Greg?
How you doing? You know, the last term of Bill Clinton, okay, was defined by one word: is. Okay, remember that?
It depends on what your definition of is.
Hillary's campaign is described by one word: there, because there is no there. Okay, period. She's got nothing to run on. Look at it. Look at the background. First lady, okay, then a senator, Remember that speaking tour, listening tour, whatever it was? She said nothing. Just traveled around and listened. She got there, didn't sponsor one piece of legislation, did nothing. Became Secretary of State, again, nothing. Okay, so there's no there there. And people are finally starting to realize it. That's why the numbers are going down.
I mean, that's a fine analysis. I don't necessarily disagree with it. I think that it's... I don't know how to... Who's back? Tony's back. Okay. All right, let me try Tony again. I'll tell you what I want to restate what I said to Noam about Hillary's reverse charisma. Go ahead, Tony. You're back now. Let me hear what's on your mind.
Can you hear me clearly?
I got you 5x5 now. What's up?
Okay. The breast has always been a symbol of nurturing. The American flag is either a mother country or it's a father country. I think the female getting involved in the American flag, like the one who painted the American flag, the Statue of Liberty, these are female symbols. And this is either a mother country or a father country. Now, let me give you the subtext of what I'm saying. I'm an artist and I'm a writer. Donald Trump has a high IQ. It's about 140. Most leaders have high IQs. The problem with high IQ people like General MacArthur, who was the most brilliant general with a perfect cum at a West Point, have no EQ. They treat everything as function and have no human element into whatever they think. They have no mental flexibility. They see things one way but are brilliant and clever. I don't want a genius running the country who thinks a baby is just another option to make another strategic move.
Oh, that's a wonderful, well said, and I appreciate it. But I don't think it affects, in terms of political impact, what it is that Trump is selling and how it's being received. I think that what you're watching is someone who is being embraced by the public, even if his ideas are reprehensible. Now, that's rare. Usually, when someone says something reprehensible, in my view, you just say, oh, I can't listen, I can't watch, oh, this person is... With Trump, you know, you say, well, he's misguided here or there. You make excuses.
You like him.
Because you like him.
Yeah.
And I can't deny I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I like him, even though I feel like kicking him in the butt over some of these ideas. And I call him out on every one of them. And to his face. But then in terms of the one thing the very intelligent caller just said, was it Tony? That Trump is not an automaton. I mean, I like I said, the last time he was on the program, a couple weeks ago, remember I had Sol, my 10-year-old, and I remember how nice he was to her when she was crying. He didn't have to be nice to her. We weren't on camera. He was nice to her. He was calm. He was nurturing. He took time out. She was crying hysterically when I lost the damn thing. And it was just really nice. And those are the things that stick in your mind. Those are things that stick in your mind. Still, would I vote for someone who wants to raid the homes of 11 million undocumented immigrants? Not on your life. How could I, unless he moderated his, and I'm still holding out hope that he will moderate. I want to take him to a Mexican restaurant. Sit down there, yeah, habla with the wait staff. I say, see, they're not so bad. And he'll say, I never said they were bad. I just want the, go after the gangbangers. This is the people that your rhetoric is affecting. Like that guy, the homeless Hispanic citizen got beat up.
Yeah.
What was that about? Tell me what that's about after this.
You're asking about this Donald Trump related story. I mean, it's hard to say, call it a Donald Trump related story because he doesn't condone it. But these two brothers up in Boston coming home from a Red Sox game this week saw this homeless guy at a subway station. First, they peed on him. Oh, by the way, I shouldn't point out he was Hispanic, this homeless guy. First, they peed on him. Then they ripped away his blankets. Then they started rummaging through his things. Then they started beating this poor guy in the face and the head. Then they took a metal pole to this guy and beat him. And when police arrived on the scene, I mean, there was a pool of blood around this guy. They caught up with the brothers very quickly after the attack. They walked away from the attack laughing, by the way. when police did catch up with them, they said they told this police officer they thought it was okay because he was Hispanic and homeless, and then furthermore said Donald Trump was right. All these illegals need to be deported.
And what did Trump say?
Well, Trump, of course, said, I won't say the exact, give you his exact thing. He says, it would be a shame, I will say, that people who are following me are very passionate. They love this country and they want this country to be great again. They are
passionate.
That's
all he said?
Well,
he didn't condemn them?
His first words is, it was a disgrace. And then he went on to say, it would be a shame. I'll tell these people that follow me are very passionate. They love this country. They want this country to be great again. Some people giving him a hard time that it wasn't a more, you know, a harder comment that at the beginning saying
the
this is disgusting, condemn it. And then you could say the
it aftermath. Is disgusting. And I was going to say something about Red Sox baseball fans, but it's not about that. It's not about drunken baseball fans. It's about people being empowered. Some slight percentage of crazy people at the very fringes of society will listen to speech that some could condemn as hate speech. Certainly that has an extremely negative view of Hispanics. This guy was a citizen, by the way. He was an American citizen, the guy they beat. It's now clear, according to the authorities. So that's ironic, bitterly ironic, that they're beating someone because Trump said these Latino immigrants or this or that. That's the danger. And this is like nothing. Wait until they come to forcible deportations. This is nothing. This is absolutely nothing. But Trump should have condemned it even more vigorously. I agree with that. And on the other hand, I also agree that he is blameless in this.
Of course.
I mean, this is two jerk-offs. Has nothing to do with Trump's character. Has to do with their own. And I hope they get the book thrown at them. What a sad way to end the week. It is Friday, right?
It is. Thank God.
So I'm heading to Fox to do the 5. And then as soon as the 5 is over, I'm going to head to the boat, going to the vineyard. Hopefully the east wind won't whip up too badly on the Long Island Sound. Thank you very much. This has been a fascinating week, isn't it? And when you think about the fact that we're just at the beginning of what will be a very, very, expansive world. We all are about to take a great adventure in this country. And hopefully we'll be right here to help us guide you through it.